Hey guys, I'm Usually Dave from the Digital Soup Podcast, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to right now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual host. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeek.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to episode 115 of Better Podcasting. Today, we'll start off with an entry to our contest before we get into our discussion about promoting your podcast.
Wait, isn't this a promo right now? In this week's Better Podcasting download, we talk about our failures. I think we flushed money down the toilet.
We sure burned it. And finally, in this week's Better Pod Back, we take your feedback, including one listener who did a blind test of our big mic shootout.
Welcome to Better Podcasting, a show where we talk about podcast tips, tools, and best practices to help you succeed with your podcast. What makes us different? Well, just like you, we podcast purely out of the love and fun of it. Podcasting is our hobby, and we recognize that it's yours too. We always encourage your questions and feedback, and you can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. Here's your host for the show, Stephen John Drew and Stargate Pioneer.
Hello and welcome to episode 115 of Better Podcasting. I am the isolated in Ground Loop Isolator, Stephen John Drew, and with me, of course, is the number one violator of SP's golden rule of hobby podcasting, Rule 3, Stargate Pioneer.
Welcome to Better Podcasting. I'm SP, and I'm here to tell you that I'm contractually obligated to be here for at least one more episode. That's right. Stephen and I are again in a contractual dispute, and we'll see where this one goes. In the meantime, don't forget, we have a microphone giveaway going on, the Audio-Technica AT2005. This is a dynamic cardioid microphone. It is also both a USB and an XLR microphone. This is a number one microphone we recommend for beginner podcasters, or even if you don't already have one, it's a great addition to your podcasting tools. How do you get it? Well, go ahead and email us at contest@betterpodcasting.com. Go ahead and tweet us at BetterPod, or you can message Stephen on our Facebook page, Better Podcasting, and tell us what your favorite moment of Better Podcasting was in 2017. And then you'll be entered in to win this. The entries are due by the end of January 2018, and then the next show in February, we'll go ahead and pick the winner. So this is the microphone right here. It's in the box. Hasn't opened yet.
Slight amendment to that, by the way. It won't probably be the first show in February. It'll probably be the second show. So just a little tease on that one there.
All right.
However, with that said, you've only got a few days left. The contest still closes January 31st, 2018. So if you're listening to this after the 31st, it is too late. So get that in. And if you want to send us a clip, that would be great, too. You can always send us a clip. We'll take that as an entry. More than happy to take audio or a video clip. That's cool. But we did get a submission that we thought we wanted to read out on here because it was interesting to hear what Mr. Webb said. SP, would you care to read said submission?
Oh, yes, because I'm a talented professional voiceover artist. Zachary Webb said, "Hello, Stephen and SP. My favorite Better Podcasting moment of 2017 was when I started listening in March. The first podcast episode I listened to was episode number 49, Next Step Considerations. After listening to that episode, I downloaded the whole back catalog and binge listened, finishing the back catalog in 1 month. Honorable mention, I just have to throw my honorable mention for favorite BP moment of 2017. It was when my Twitter feedback was read on the show. Most podcast hosts and listeners don't know that sending feedback to a show and reading listeners' feedback is great to grow audience and make their podcast community better. Thanks for the great podcast, Zachary Webb, host of the Serious About Tech podcast at seriousabouttech.com.
Is it Serious About Tech or Serious About Tech?
Tomato, tomato.
No, Zachary, thanks so much for sending that submission. And I got to say that we're always happy to read out feedback. The reason we do that on this show is because it fits well. It's podcasters helping each other out. So definitely something that fits well for our show. But if you have a podcast yourself, consider this. You don't really necessarily need to go too far in depth because it might not fit so well with your show. But reading out the occasional tweet or the occasional message can help build your audience because you're just helping build that connection between you and the listener. And you show the listener that you respect the audience by reading those out as well. So absolutely, it's not bad to drop that into your show every now and then where it fits.
And it's nice that we respect our listeners because I don't think Steven respects me.
You know, you talked earlier a little bit about how the Audio-Technica AT2005 is a great tool for your toolbox. SP is a great tool for my toolbox.
All right. I think you need to tone it down, buddy. And you know what? I can't think of a better way to tone it down than just to get into our main topic about promotion.
Let's talk promotion. Now, also, let's talk a little bit about how we've talked about how you can suggest topics to us. We want to know, what do you think would make a great topic for better podcasting? And today, we're going to do one of those. It's absolutely true. We will consider your suggestions. And this suggestion here came from a couple of listeners who wrote us in recent asking if we've talked about promotional items. Yeah, yes, we have here and there talked a little bit about promotional items, but we haven't done a dedicated episode just to that. So today we're going to make that happen and we're going to run through some promotional items that you might consider if you're looking to do a little bit of promo for your show. However, before we get there, let's lay the groundwork on this. First off, let us just emphasize that you do not have to do physical promotional items for your podcast. No, this is something that as a hobbyist, you're already spending money on your passion. And promotional items, while they can possibly be helpful to build your audience, they're going to cost you money for something that is already costing you money. So think a little bit about that and see whether or not that is something that you still want to do. Right, SP?
Yeah, so as you consider these items, you should consider the you factor. And what we mean is that you gain in some manner from having this. For example, Steven has a variety of Gunna Geek shirts. I have mugs. These are all items that give us personal satisfaction or use. And they're also practical. Like I have water in my Better Podcasting mug right in front of me. And I think there's some maple syrup in Steven's mug that he just drank from as well. But it's practical. We are able to use it on a daily basis, whether it is on the podcast or not. And even if you get personal satisfaction from the items, it might be worth asking yourself, would I get a better gain putting this money elsewhere? Example, a few shirts could be possibly a better microphone, like an AT2005, which we talked about already. And that could increase the audio of your show, which could increase your listeners' enjoyment of the show. So now that you've committed to getting promo merch, you've made that decision, you've done the trade-offs and said, you know what, I've got a few extra bucks, I'm going to go ahead and do this. What else is there to consider? What is your considerations, Mr. Steven?
Well, first, start with what is your end vision? There's got to be an end goal that you have for this merchandise. For example, if you're looking for something for convention representation, it might be different than if you're looking to add a little bit of professionalism to your show. So what is your end goal? That's going to help refine your decision. What's your budget? Are you wanting to keep it cheap or are you willing to spend a little bit more? If you're looking to keep it cheap, you might look at some on-demand printing rather than doing a big batch. And are you looking to satisfy yourself or others? Because yourself is going to kind of narrow your field down to something that's going to be very useful for you. For others, it's going to be what's going to be the most universally useful item. So absolutely, this is something and some questions that you got to try to narrow down before you get into the purchasing. Now, we're going to run through some items and some considerations, but what we want to make sure is to tell you that some of these items are just going to be one-off, really quick mentions. Other we're going to get into in depth just because we feel that they need some elaboration on. Now, let's start off with the basics. The basics is something that we always suggest which is business cards. If you're going to start buying something promotional, if you don't have business cards, we suggest this be your first purchase. Because you can buy business cards for fairly cheap. You can get them for like 10 bucks if you find the right deal online. And so if you don't have business cards and you're going to buy something promotional, get them because you can write on the back of them. You never know when you're going to be able to use this. You might be able to use it if you're just in passing when talking with somebody. You might use it to give yourself some credibility when you apply somewhere. So if you don't have business cards and you're going to do promotion and stuff, we suggest starting there.
I will give you a practical example that just happened to me a few days ago. This past weekend, I was out doing a family activity, and I met somebody through that activity that happened to be a possible future collaborator. So I exchanged pleasantries. We actually talked about what we each did. And then guess what? We exchanged business cards. Now, this doesn't always have to be the case. It doesn't have to be, hey, I'm going to give you something and can I get something from you sort of thing. Or it could just be saying, hey, what do you do? I podcast. Oh, you do. What is your podcast name? And you hand them a business card. I mean, it's great to be able to get on their phone and have them subscribe to it. But maybe that handwritten note on the back of the business card as you give it over to them gives that personal feel that really brings them into your product. Now, moving on past the business cards, you can do giveaways. We're doing a giveaway right now on this podcast. We've done giveaways before, but I will tell you that success with the giveaways, if you are defining success in a certain way of trying to get more listeners, trying to get more people generated into the excitement of your show, it really depends on promotion. So if you're going to give away something of bigger value, say like a microphone, like we're doing, and you want to increase the size of the audience, you're going to have to promote that giveaway outside of the show. So admittedly, this is different than the giveaways that we do have done on Better Podcasting. The giveaways that we do on Better Podcasting is not to generate audience excitement. Our giveaways have been designed and continue to be designed to get better audio equipment in the hands of other hobbyists. That is what we're trying to drive forward, that this is a reasonable piece of audio equipment for you, or podcast related equipment for you to use in the creation of your show. So that is why we've been doing it. Now, others like Bandrew Scott over on the Podcastics channel, he has held giveaways to celebrate landmark episodes or subscriber download counts. And yeah, you can do that as well. There is another YouTube channel out there, a sailing YouTube channel out there, that they just did He just did a giveaway over Christmas just because he was so floored that so many people were watching his videos and he wanted to give back just a little bit. So he gave away this little weather station to his audience as a Christmas gift. It was literally him giving back to the community. So you can do that. However, if you are doing it to solely promote the giveaway to promote your show, to increase your audience, you're going to have to promote your giveaway outside of your show. So just keep that in mind.
Now, what works and what doesn't work? Everything's going to have a bit of a time limit. For example, if your giveaway is event driven, you might have to ensure that that item or that giveaway matches exactly what that event is. Here's an example of that. The one and only Cody Goff, who is a member of the Gunna Geek Network on a variety of shows, he found out at Gen Con that apparently pens themselves are not exactly useful. He got a whole bunch of pens made for his podcast and they just weren't received very well because I guess that time has come and gone and that ship has sailed. So that's a great event about how, or a great example about how it was, it sounded like a good concept, but the execution wasn't there. And then the best part about it was because they weren't that popular, he actually still has a whole bunch of branded pens that were with his old podcast that doesn't exist anymore. So there you go.
The podcast still exists, but he has rebranded the podcast. So it is gone from Gave Life Balance US, and it used to be Unqualified Gamers. So yeah, the Unqualified Gamers brand doesn't exist anymore. So moving on, stickers, they seem to be trendy right now. They go in and out of trends. They're cheap. They're in style right now, and they're great to give away because people can put them on the back of their laptops and their backpacks and their trapper keepers. And unless you're a microphone company and you're looking at reviews that Bandrew Scott does, yeah, microphones stickers, I guess, don't mix well with Mr. Bandrew.
You could also consider doing mouse pads. Mouse pads are a new thing that are paid. Well, not a new thing. Yeah, mouse pads are new. But no, custom mouse pads are kind of picking up again. And it's something that I think is new to podcasters. And what's kind of neat about that is that if you get the mouse pads made and somebody's using that, they're seeing your logo and everything every time they use their computer. So how cool is that?
Also, magnets, very similar to stickers as well. They can be used to promote your brand, but they're usually in one place and one place only, your refrigerator. So people in your family, you know, they can check out whatever you're trying to promote, but I don't think you're meeting your target audience there. And I don't necessarily think it brings the same sort of joy to the user as one of the other items that we're talking about. We've talked about this many, many times before, and it is a coaster. Now, we got leather embossed drink coasters. We particularly think that these are great for other podcasters, which fits great in with better podcasting in our network and in totality. Because when you podcast, inevitably, you have something to drink. You do it to moisten your mouth. You do it because your mouth gets dry. And you do it maybe even for libations. So the point in having, and Steven's holding up his very used wet one right now. But the point in these is that you want something that's soft. You don't want one of those ceramic ones. It's going to be noise whenever you actually set your drink down on top of one. So we got leather embossed ones, and we think that they fit in well. The one detriment to using these as a giveaway item is that they're relatively expensive in comparison to some of the other things that you can get. So just know that maybe these aren't the perfect gift all the time. It depends on use case, and it depends on how much money you have to throw away at it.
You could also consider something like those bottle koozies, if you've ever seen those. Those are a thing that people are doing now as well. You could do a calendar. Calendars are generally inexpensive, but our personal preference here, well, my personal preference here is the Seductive SP one. That's a private collection one.
Hey,
so.
Hey, that was between you and me, and we agreed not to tell anybody about it.
But seriously, calendars are relatively inexpensive. Some personal items that you might want to consider that will help you, but also be promotional items, are clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, jackets, hats. All of these things are things that you get some satisfaction out of, you can use, but also promote your podcast. How about stationery? You could definitely get some notepads or something like that. Other items there as well as drinkware. We talked briefly about mugs, but also what about the water bottles? Lots of custom water bottles and tumblers out there now. Also, if you do a video show, what about this one?
We're talking about microphone flags, especially if you do any sort of video whatsoever or take a picture of your studio while you're recording. Even if your show is not video, you can do that and then promote your brand out there. Or if you go to a convention maybe or some sort of large gathering and you're interviewing people, if you have that microphone flag on that microphone, just like you're a reporter for ESPN or CNN News, it's great branding. They know that you're serious about what you do. So microphone flags, really inexpensive. It does take a little printing capability and a little glue to throw them up there. And if you are waiting for your producer to give you a new mic flag, it might take a while for it to come in. But once you get it, it is great to actually use. Now, the next one is something that both Steven and I have used. And really, Steven's designed them all. So Steven gets all the credit here. But it's banners. And let me clarify. First of all, Steven actually still has some in your den. You just can't see them right now, right, Steven?
Nah. So this one gives me personal satisfaction, but also can be used for promotional. Is I have a couple of banners in my den. It's just awesome for the Geek Cave, right? It's great. I've got a couple of different ones from different podcasts that I did over the years, and I'm going to expand those, you know, when the funds allow it again. And so I it's just a really cool thing that fills up wall space, but also if I need to use, can be used for promotion. So banners can be actually relatively inexpensive. So if you're going to be hosting an event or creating a booth or something like that, take a look into these because they're big, they're large. And then when you're done, you get to hang them on your wall and go, hey, that's my show on my wall. How cool is that?
I've actually used my banner in quite a few places. I've used it in hotel rooms as we're doing podcasts. I usually try to take it with me if I can. Like if I fly in an airplane, I'm not going to take the banner with me because it stands that goes with the banner is actually quite long, and it, you know, the issues with getting it on an airplane. But if I'm driving somewhere, I'll take it with me. And I've used it in hotel rooms. I've used it on a boat. There's a video of me actually trying out a headset on a boat, and I have got the banner with me. I've used it in a highway rest area. There's also another video of me doing that. I've used it right here in the studio as we were trying to morph the backdrop that I use over time. And I've used it numerous panels all the way back to our first panel at C2E2 in 2016 in Chicago.
By the way, if you want to see that boat video, you can go ahead and head over to geeks.link/boat. It'll take you right over to the YouTube video of SP on a boat. It's actually a really good test. So if you are interested in that. Also, let's talk a little bit about some non-conventional promotion ideas, because you're obviously wanting to promote your show, and let's talk a little bit about the things that might not necessarily be physical items, but still worth considering. How about holiday greeting cards? Okay, so those are physical items, but they're not conventional, because it's not like you're really going out and sending out individual letters en masse to your audience, but maybe you've got a reason that you can do this. Again, a little way that you can promote your show is through holiday greeting cards or letters, or just sending them general well wishes if you have a way to do that using some form of stationery, whether it is physical stationery or electronic stationery. It still is promoting your show.
Another thing you can do is you can donate your time or service. We really don't have a service here on Better Podcasting other than helping you. I mean, I do voiceovers, so that's something that I could definitely give away. You just got to think about what your podcast is, what your expertise is in real life, and what you can do for others so you can give your time and talent away. You can offer to do graphics for people if you are art inclined and just ask that they promote you in return. You can even guest on other shows. You can offer that as a service to somebody else. Like if somebody else is just starting out in their podcast in your same niche, then you can go ahead and say, hey, look, I'll come on your show. Yeah, we could do that. If you listen to my show, I'll support you. So you can go ahead and do that. So there are a few ways to give stuff away. If you have a Patreon, I know a lot of people do, even those smaller hobby podcasters with only a few actual donors, they actually have Patreons. But in order to have a Patreon account, you have to have levels. And with each level comes some sort of reward. So you can use promotional items in those reward levels. If you're hosting an event, you can give it to attendees. I know a lot of people do meetups in their immediate area, in whatever genre they're in. They can go to conventions. You can be part of a business meeting or whatever, and just give something away. And you can do a blanket giveaway if you can afford it, or you can reward the people that are participation. Now you can give it away on your show, kind of like what we do. You can run a contest, and people like merch. Mercantile, and you would be surprised how much they would do to get it. I mean, think to your high school football days, Stephen, and remember the cheerleaders as they come out with those air guns that are full of those t-shirts, which are good for that one event only, but everybody climbs over each other to get to it. It's so ridiculous when you think about it.
It is. Finally, one thing that we want to quickly talk about is ways that you can save money. Because if you're obviously doing this out of the love of podcasting, so how are you going to save yourself some money? Here's tip number one, order in advance. This can save you excess shipping charges. It seems like everybody who makes merchandise that you're on a timeline will charge you a rush fee or a faster shipping fee. That definitely happens.
Hundreds of dollars when it comes down to an item like these embossed leather coasters if you need a rush order versus a normal order. And that's just for the production run. That has nothing to do with the shipping.
Don't overbuy. Sometimes just buying a couple of items to test the waters is a better way to go than ending up with like 1,000 pens that you can't use. So don't overbuy. Make sure to be realistic when you're purchasing. Also, look online. Okay, let's be honest. Most of us want to help the local economy. And if we can, we'd like to go down and help Joe and Joe's print shop or Jane and Jane's print shop. But if you are on a bit of a budget, the chances are the local printing is going to be more expensive than those people who do mass printings for across the country. So if you are trying to save a little bit of money, looking online might help you.
unless Joe's printing shop and Jane's printing shop are actually in competition with each other and you can fight for the best deal between the two.
That's true. That is true. But if you are thinking about going online, look for promo codes, okay? So promo codes, coupon codes, these can save you money. One of the companies that I regularly have ordered stuff through and have been really good is a company called Vistaprint. Vistaprint, once you're on their mailing list, they're going to send you promo codes regularly and they give you really good deals. They've pretty much always, as soon as you add an item in there, end up applying a promo code of some form, not always, but generally. But then they're always emailing me stuff. So absolutely, promo codes can save you money as well. And if you're being offered it, why not take the discount?
If you are buying multiple items, get quotes for big buys. Like if you're going to a convention and you're buying 100 t-shirts, you want the best deal possible. So shop around, get multiple quotes, and different designs are going to be different prices no matter which item you're talking about. It could be a mug, could be a sticker, could be a shirt, whatever. And finally, get creative. Think out of the box. A non-prefabricated idea may save you a bunch of money, which actually takes us into our first piece of Better Podback this week. Ooh, there's a little tease for you.
But before we get there, let's go to the download.
Welcome to this week's Better Podcasting Download.
All right, so we wanted to take some time in our download today to talk about all of our failures. Well, our podcast purchase related failures, because I got a lot of personal life failures that I just won't share on this show. SP can attest to that.
Yeah, one of which is podcasting with Steven on my part. Yeah, that's definitely a failure. But we did get a question. It was shortly after our gear episodes as we end the 2017. We do every year now. It's a holiday tradition on Better Podcasting. And Evil Zombie commented on Better Podcasting episode number 111 on YouTube. He said, "Great episode, guys. Merry Christmas. Sounds like you really got some awesome deals on good hardware." What? And this is when I was like, "Ooh, this is really good. We're going to have to save this for a rainy day." What would you say is the worst hardware buy you have ever had that just had the opposite result of what you wanted? Really well-phrased question, Evil Zombie. We were scintillating ever since we received this. So yeah, we had to bounce this off of each other quite a bit. We talked about this quite a bit. So this is not something that's just off the cuff, but we're probably less likely to have some bad buys because we do actually talk to each other about our purchases, which we talk about every year in our gear episodes. This is, we look for sales and we bounce ideas off of each other before we make purchases. So
let's just go into it. And we've got a couple of lists here and we'll start off with SP. He'll run through his list and give his reasoning why before I get to mine. And I just want to emphasize this as well, that these are something that we are addressing based off of the question, what would you say is the worst hardware buy you've ever had that has just had the opposite result that you wanted? So we are using a little bit of liberty with that question because our worst buy might not necessarily be the have given us the opposite result. So we're kind of taking both sides of that question.
Right. So the first item that I'll run through is my Surface RT tablet. I don't have this in my studio anymore. It's actually on a shelf. It's not mounted anywhere. I did have it mounted above my monitors. I got this for a few reasons. First of all, I was trying to be cheap and trying not to have to spend $1,000 on a new iPad, which eventually I got an iPad mini for hundreds of dollars, not thousands of dollars. So that turned out a lot better. But the problem with this, and the reasons why I will say the Surface RT is had the opposite effect, is that there are no apps that will work on it anymore. It's almost worse than a Windows device, like a Windows phone or a Windows tablet, because you can't get any app support. Apps disappear all the time on this as they get updated, and it just got slow and low, and I just couldn't use it anymore. So finally, this past year, I just took it out of the studio. And yeah, adopting early hardware on small little mobile devices, and even though this is like book size, I would consider this small mobile device probably not the best bet. Wait a few years or actually pay enough so you get something that works for a few years before it gets outdated. So that's my first. The second one I will have to say is the Behringer Q802 USB mixer. Great capability for the price. The problem is it went bad, and it went bad within a year of me buying it. And I sent it in for RMA. And as I sent it in for RMA, I thought, hey, I'll just get a bigger, more capable mixer because I'm looking at doing different things. So I got the Behringer 1622. That also went bad on me. So after that, I was like, fine, I'm going to get some quality. And I got the Mackie. So Behringer Q802, yeah, great price to start out with. But if I would have started out with the Mackie Pro FX 8 or Pro FX 8 V2 now, that would have been a much better buy to start out with than that 802. I might actually still be using that initial Mackie mixer, the smaller Pro FX 8 mixer, if I had gotten that instead of the Behringer Q802. I will qualify everything. I know Steven's jumping at the bit here, right here. I will qualify it as I've had three Behringer products go bad on me, three Behringer products go bad on me in the audio processing mixing world. Steven was still rocking that 1620, that same 1622 mixer that I had, and he was still rocking that until he started the Zoom L12. Nothing is wrong with that mixer. It's in storage right now to be used whenever he needs it. Another thing that I will say that I wish I wouldn't have bought it, and not necessarily that it didn't work, but that there was a better option out there, is the Behringer 3-pack of XM1800S microphones. While a great value for three microphones and better than using a chat headset, I wish I would have known about the Audio-Technica ATR2100 or the AT2005, the Samsung Q2U or the Knox podcasting microphone, because then I wouldn't have had to buy the Behringer Q802 mixer. I would have gotten much better sound, and I would have been able to embark on my podcasting career without having to worry about, how do I set this mixer up? This is so confusing to me. Wish I would have done that. So yeah, still have the XM1800S pack, and yeah, I kind of wish I didn't, but I don't really want to give them to anybody else because I want to make sure that the Audio Technica items, the USB XLR microphones that I just named off, are used. Another item also worked, but not for what I needed, was the Sennheiser HD201 headphones. These are $20. These were a great buy, and they got decent sound. The problem is they weren't very noise isolating, and in a household that's as busy as mine and as noisy as mine, I need good sound isolation on my headphones, which then started me down the road of getting the Sony MDR7506s and now up to using the Shure SRH840s. So yeah, these were not effective for what I needed out of the box. I also got a little USB interface, the ART USB Dual Pre, and I got it because I could use it off of batteries. I could be mobile with it. Unfortunately, it had a horrible side tone to it, and I just can't use it for recording and talking at the same time mobily. So that was the purpose of me getting it. So it didn't work, and it's mostly unused right now. All right, Steven, we need to actually talk about this. It's been well over a year.
Yeah,
I bought a used microphone off of Craigslist, and I have a whole video series that needs to come out about this. But what was it? I can't remember if I talked about this before or not. But
I don't think you have actually. I think you have off the show, but I don't think you have on the show.
It's an MXL BCD1, and it was kind of the entry level, large diameter, dynamic broadcast microphone. The problem with this is I got it off Craigslist. It worked fine. It smelled horribly. A gaming smoker used this. Now, he did upgrade to a used Shure SM7B, and that's why he was getting rid of this. It worked just fine. But yeah, the ensuing mayhem of getting the smoke smell out of this, that's where the story really is. And you'll have to wait for a video series coming soon to Gonna Geek Gear YouTube channel on my odyssey with that thing. Okay, it smells horribly, and it doesn't sound all that great either. So in comparison to like the Rode Procaster that I'm using right now. So if you're interested in getting one of these, don't get a Rode Procaster or an Electro Voice RE320.
Sorry to clarify, there was a comma in there. If you're thinking about getting a BCD1, don't, comma. get a Rode Procaster. You almost said don't get a Rode Procaster. So,
yeah, no. I'm fine with the Rode Procaster. I still have the plosive issues. Looking forward to getting the pop filter with it. So another thing that I got to try to fit into my studio was I got this little Pile Universal microphone stand. And any video that you see of a band on stage, they have these little circular bases, right? Well, the base on this microphone stand was so small that when I extended the boom arm, it fell over every single time. So it did not work for what I needed. I wanted to put it on the floor. I wanted to isolate it from the desk, and I wanted the boom arm to come from where it was actually on the floor over to me, and it just fell over. So it didn't work. Ugh, was a waste of money. It's actually still in the studio, packed away in the back there. I need to actually get rid of it. I also got some soft boxes of lights for clamp-on painting lights. Yeah, those didn't work either. They just aren't designed for full-time studio use. On a one-off, maybe they might be useful, but they're not sturdy enough to use full-time. Also, recently on Gonna Geek Gear, you might have seen my review of the AKG K240 headphones. They're still in the box, and they will be forever in the box. I can't stand these things. The noise isolation is non-existent. Why? Because they're semi-open headphones. So for me, and for a lot of podcasters out there, you want to isolate your sound. So getting a semi-open or open headphones are not going to be the way to go for you. Just trust me on that. I did for my very first large diameter dynamic broadcast microphone, get a Shure SM7B. This was a purchase that did not work for me. I'm not saying the microphone is bad. I'm saying the microphone did not work for me. I was too muddy on it. It needed way too much gain that it was able to provide it with the DBX because of the projection that my voice has. I needed more gain than it was able to give. And the more gain I gave it, the more muddy it got. So no, sure, SM7B had to leave this studio, and it made its way to Canada, and Steven got to use it for a while as well. So it was a good buy for better podcasting, but for me personally, it was not a good buy because that was like a wasted $350. In general, you can't take everything on the road with you, and no backpack or bag will be capable of doing everything. As much as you want to find that perfect bag, it's just not going to be in existence. So I will say the failure that I had was thinking that it could take everything in a bag. And I bought several different bags and backpacks and stuff like that. Yeah, doesn't work. You actually need to skinny down what you take on the road. So that's my lesson learned from there. So that is all my failures, Steven. I'm just a real failure podcaster, aren't I?
I just need clarification. You said you skinny down what you take on the road. So like, I'm supposed to file down my Rode Procaster? Is that what you're saying? Is file it down? Is that the advice you're giving people?
You know, it's what the people that go to space do. They take away some metal in order to get the weight down.
I gotcha. Okay, I'm tracking now. Yeah. No, it's a good list, and I don't think that it's... I don't think either of ours is solidly answering his direct question, but it's food for thought for people in the realm of the question. So my list here, let's start off with one of my favorite things, which is the wonderful DI boxes, direct injection boxes. I have had nothing but problem with these things. I have tried different brands. You know, I've never gone to a super high-end one, but I'm also can't justify a super high-end one when there are cheaper solutions that do work. So the DI boxes, I've tried one from Pile Pro, from Behringer. There was another one that I tried. I don't remember who it was.
I didn't try this one, though, the LiveWire.
Yeah, the LiveWire. You have a LiveWire one, and it's just too expensive. In Canada, it's way too expensive. So it's off my list because I instead have had better luck with ground loop isolators in place of the DI box. So for me, a lot of the times I found that people who are using DI boxes in a podcasting setup are using them to remove the hum, because a lot of them have a ground loop lift. I have just found that going through a ground loop isolator itself has been much more stable. They've lasted for years versus my direct injection boxes, which have died relatively quick. This one's interesting is the Rode PSA-1. And if I was to boil it down to the specific question of which item it was that had the opposite effect, this was the one that first came to my mind, was the Rode PSA-1. And the reason why is because I had two of these things from two different vendors, one of which had to special order the thing in, come in, and they were squeaky. They were very, very, and it's squeaky's an understatement. They were clangy, okay? So they were outright clangy.
Terrible.
And I'm going to go dig up this footage one day and throw it on the Gunna Geek Gear channel because it was horrendous. And the reason I wanted to have a desk arm over the boom arm that I had was for noise purposes. And so it was the opposite effect. It did not help me mitigate noise because every time that it remotely moved, it went clang. So the PSA one, I just had personal trouble. With that said, I know a lot of people have had success with the PSA ones. Chris Farrell from the Gunna Geek Network being one person. But for me, I ended up switching over after they got two out of me, two tries out of me, and then I just moved to the Heil PL2T. So, and that was good for me. Another one that's on my list is the Philips Hue lighting strips. Okay, so when I'm talking about the video side of things, I better represent a little bit here. I wanted to get some Philips Hue lighting strips for my backdrop. The way my backdrop is illuminated is there's a couple of lights that shine down behind the backdrop. And I wanted to get rid of those lights because I have to position them every week because I'm moving my backdrop and all this stuff. And I wanted to just have some strip lighting that could just be there. The lighting, while bright, was very concentrated, so it had the complete opposite effect. The entire center of my backdrop was not illuminated, and so they went back to the store, because I'm not going to spend that type of money to just go ahead and have a step back. So those had the opposite effect. All right, I should give the shout out to the wonderful, wonderful cheapo microphones, if you've ever heard me talk about a, quote, Rusto mic. It was a Pro Dynamics SM30 dynamic microphone.
Don't worry, folks. It's not available anywhere.
This microphone, in my early days of podcasting, I saw a sale at one of those big box stores, and I went, hey, look, it looks better. So I bought it because looks are awesome, right? And it was not better. It was not very good at all. And it rusted. So I've tried various cheapo microphones and just a couple of them. And yes, not good. So spend your money on a decent microphone. The AT2005, the ATR2100, the Nox KN01U apostrophe T or whatever it is. So definitely some microphones get that shout out on the list. Here is a software piece that really kind of, I'm going to use the term now, burned me, okay? Because it will work for some people, but for me in the long run, it really burned me, is CyberLink Power Director software. Really affordable software, has some good functionality in it. However, I was trying to go to the software to make my process easier. Had a couple of features that would have made my process easier. But as I started to use it for my purposes, I think because it's a consumer piece of software, I might have pushed it a little bit too far, and I had a couple of bugs come up, and it just made the process harder. So instead, eventually I found Magix Movie Studio, which is definitely my top recommendation if you're going to buy a piece of budget video software. Very, very functional piece of software. And if I had known about it, I would have probably just gone to that rather than CyberLink PowerDirector. So a lot of great reviews on PowerDirector. For me, not a great review for myself.
I also bought PowerDirector. I never actually used it. The reason why I didn't put my intro video software on, Corel Video Studio X9, on the list is because for me, it actually enhanced my video editing skills. Now, eventually, it was terrible because the audio is degraded and the actual production process is not as great on it as Movie Studio is. I'm glad I moved up to Movie Studio, but I'm not going to say my Corel bad buy was wrong or bad because it helped me increase my capabilities along the way.
For sure. Another thing that I had very interesting situation with was an Alesis photo or phono link. It's basically a inexpensive USB interface. It's got a couple of RCA ports on it, plugs in USB. I wanted this because it had have decent reviews, and it was supposed to be a step up from the Behringer UCA222. Long story short, got it, and it whined. So I returned it, got another one, and it whined too. And I tried it on multiple computers, one of which was a laptop, and got the same result on both. So just, it must have been compatibility with something. I don't know what it was. Could it be a bad batch? I don't know. In any case, it was the opposite effect. Another one that I should give a special shout out to, which I actually like quite a bit, is the Hapage PVR Rocket. So this PVR Rocket is a HDMI capture device. So the intention is you send an HDMI signal to it, and you can capture onto a USB card, so like a USB thumb drive. It was supposed to capture the show and be my primary capture source. However, it worked well for that, but I didn't need it. Once I started to get into video things and I started to use XSplit, I found that I just could have bypassed that, and instead I record right within XSplit. But at the time, I thought I should have an external device because that's how I was operating with my audio chain, was a separate recording device. So I thought, well, I better have a separate recording for video, and I just didn't end up needing it. Now, with that said, it still works great for stuff outside of podcasting. I've just used it not too long ago, and I would recommend it for somebody if they're trying not to tax their computer as much. It would be another great way to capture every video, but for me in the end, didn't really do what I needed it to do because I had a different, better solution and it could have been money spent elsewhere. And finally, this one here hurts me a little bit to say, okay? And the reason it hurts me is because I actually think that these are decent headphones, so it doesn't really meet the qualification here of the worst purchase by any means, but it is the Audio-Technica ATH M40Xs. Now, the reason why they made my list was because this is answering the direct part of it had the opposite result than what I wanted. Yes, I bought them partially to compare to the Shure SRH440s. However, the Shure SRH440s, what I was finding was even after broken in, after about an hour, they started to get a little bit less comfortable on my head. So I was hoping that the ATH's M40Xs would be pretty good because SP had pretty good result with those, and I just found that they were actually worse for my head. For my head, I found that they started to get uncomfortable more around the half hour, 45 minute mark, and they got really hot, and I just found the sound wasn't what I was preferring. I could notice a noticeable bass increase compared to my SRH440s for me personally. So headphones are very subjective, and that's why I just want to preface that again and say that again, that I think that these are decent headphones. If you got a good deal on them, I think a lot of people will like them, but for me personally, I like the 440s better, and so they didn't accomplish what I wanted. And that's my list. So there you go. There's the rundown of how we... That's my flushing sound. Flush money down the toilet.
I need to qualify Steven's talk about the ATH M40X. I still think they're a great set.
Of course you do. Of course you do.
Set of headphones. No, but I want to definitely hit this point home. With headphone reviews, this is what I've discovered over the past couple of years. They are very good when it comes to noise isolation, really, or maybe even the volume that you get out of them. However, everything else about the headphones is subjective. The way it fits on your head, the way the sound sounds for you, because everybody likes different sounds. And yeah, there's certain things that can be definitive about the headphones. But overall, if you're looking for the best set of headphones out there, I'm here to tell you, you're never going to find it from somebody else's review. You're going to actually have to go out and experience these headphones for yourself. Now, whether you get to borrow a pair or whether you actually go out and start purchasing them yourself, either way, you are going to have to determine the best headphones for you. That's what I've determined so far. By the way, I'm wearing the Shure SRH 840s right now. Very shortly, in the next couple of weeks, hopefully I will have my comparison of these in comparison to the Audio-Technica ATH M40X, the ATH M50X, and the Shure or the Sony MDR 7506s. So look for that at Gonna Geek Gear. By the way, Steven, a lot of people have been saying different purchases in the chat room. I want to throw this out to our entire audience. If you have a purchase that had the direct opposite effect that you wanted from it, go ahead, get that into us, and we will put it on a future show. And I want to thank Evil Zombie for your question, because this is not something that either of us would have ever recommended for a topic or a download for Better Podcasting. So thank you very much.
Absolutely. So let's go ahead and get to that teased Better Pod back. All right, let's just do it. Let's start off with the awesome, awesome question that we just got this past week, which we had already decided weeks ago to do promotional material. So great timing. And to Keith Hearn, I say that you are clearly stalking us. So Keith Hearn asked this question. He said, please tell me where you guys got your mic covers with the logo that hang from your boom. So if you've not watched the video side of things, we on our microphones have a what's called a microphone flag. It's an apparatus that hangs from the microphone. And what we have on there is our logo. Now, what's nice about ours is that they're actually four-sided, so we can have different shows on them should we be so inclined for our various video programs. Now, one thing that I'll just mention with the microphone flags is that this was one of those outside-of-the-box things that we thought to do. I'll go ahead and say it. I had the microphone flag first, and so it was mostly my idea. Of course, I'm sure 1,000 other people have had this idea, but I was the initiator on the Gonna Geek Network. And what we did was we just went, and on eBay or Amazon, you can find these things for dirt cheap, like $5, right? You can find them for if you wait from China for like $3. Otherwise, you're looking at about $10, I think, in the States. And they're blank. So then what we did was we went and actually printed on cardstock from a printer. You can find it at probably your local office supply place. We had them print off on cardstock our logos and then used a card cutter, like a scrapbook cutter that you can have to properly cut that to the right size and then adhered it on there. I think SP used double-sided tape. I used scrapbook tape. And so then we just pasted those on there. And thinking outside of the box, we were able to do this for like $10 as opposed to getting them custom made, which probably would have cost us, I don't know how much, like probably $50. I have no idea.
They can get really expensive. Like the custom ones that you can get for the Electro Voice RE320 or any of the Electro Voice broadcast microphones, because of that unique shock mount, they are very expensive. And you can get away with a cheap self-made one out of foam board and make your own cardstock to glue it on there as well. So there are DIY methods to do it. There are expensive real ways to do it. By the way, these mic flags, they're literally for reporters. And we did not special order them to hang from the boom. They go on a reporter's microphone and they also go on boom arms. So we scored there. Evil Zombie said, was happy I could watch the live for a bit. Good show, guys. Yeah, thanks for coming by and checking out the live show.
If you didn't know that, we do stream this live. You can find us on Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific time. That's 8 p.m. Eastern time at www.geeks.live. We also had another tweet come our way from the one and only Matt Gall at @instructor_Matt. This was in response to us talking about the wonderful Heather Welsh's appearance last week. We talked a bit about that. And Heather was on a awesome, awesome show called Home Gadget Geeks. And Matt said, Heather rocked it. Hashtag like a boss. So there you go. Matt liked you on that show, Heather. Way to go.
Also, Heather tweeted from her podcast account @SunPowerPod. She said, excited to announce the details for the Sunshine Summit 2018. Can be found at sunshineandpowercuts.com with more guests to be confirmed. And there was a little picture on the tweet. Steven, have you taken a look at this picture?
I have. And I got to say that as far as how things go, it's a great tweet. It's a great tweet.
So basically what she's saying is she is announcing that Steven and I will be appearing on the Sunshine Summit from the 9th of March to the 16th of March. Our time happens to be Friday, the 9th of March at 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. So you can catch that at sunshineandpowercuts.com/Sunshine Summit 2018.
Also, we got a couple of YouTube comments this week. People are just on fire in the YouTube sphere. We had over on episode 26, way back when, you can find that at betterpodcasting.com/26. We had Over to Edge Broadcasting say, "I see you're off to the left of the mic. I'm trying to learn new techniques to improve my sound on my radio." So if you've ever seen us on the video side of things, and if you haven't seen us, then I'm going to describe it to you. We do talk slightly off access to microphones. Go talk to any audio file. Well, not any, but the majority of audio files out there are going to tell you how you're not utilizing the most of your microphone by doing that. We don't care, because we don't want the wonderful plosives on the microphone. And talking slightly off axis helps alleviate that to a degree. So our opinion is slightly off axis. Actually, you know, the loss that you get in quality is gained by the lack of plosives. So that's why we do it. And you can actually YouTube this. There's a lot of people who have very passionate opinions on this. Some people say definitely don't do that. Some people say definitely do that. So it is something that for SB and I, we find that it does work the best. It gives us the best balance.
Indeed. Then over on the Gonna Geek Gear YouTube channel, we received a comment by Mark Stratton. He said, "Thank you for this. I listened blind, didn't look at the screen, and picked my favorite based only upon what I liked. That RE320 is going into my Amazon cart very soon. It had the most even tone of the lot, in my opinion." First of all, that is the video that Steven did between the RE320, the Shure SM7B, the Heil PR40, and the Audio-Technica BP40 Procaster, and the Art D7.
And you can find that at www.geeks.link/big mic shootout.
It was a big mic shootout indeed. I was glad that you were able to go ahead and do it. And it is subjective what people like. It's like the headphones. If one microphone works for your voice better, you should probably use that microphone instead of another microphone. You know, we talked about how Bandrew Scott actually enjoyed the Shure SM7B, whereas Steven and I did not, because of our voices. Well, that's the same thing here. Maybe your voice does sound better on a Heil PR40. I know Ray Ortega uses a Heil PR40, and his voice, to him, sounds better on that. So, Mark, to all that I say, I hope the Electro Voice RE320 does the best job for your voice, but do consider your voice versus the microphone capabilities.
Absolutely. We also had on the L12 unboxing video that I did, we had Matthias say, "Very good information. Many thanks, Steven. I'm looking forward to getting my new L12. I'm really, really appreciative of the fact that so many people are checking out the video, because I will say, from a complete novice perspective with the L12, it was very overwhelming for me to get into. And so I think that this is really great. People are doing their research ahead of time, because I think the L12 is not for everybody. I think there's a lot of people who wouldn't have the patience to figure out the L12 because it is quite complicated. So to all these people doing their research, kudos to you. I think that that's phenomenal that you're checking out videos ahead of time.
And I'm glad I don't have to deal with operating the L12 every week. I would never get a recording in edgewise.
Finally, we had Evil Zombie comment saying, "Great episode, guys. Looking forward to it every week. It's almost February, and I'm so excited to be able to get to the gym again to work out and catch up on some other podcasts as well. I stayed away in January because of the New Year's resolution warriors." Oh, Evil Zombie, isn't that so true? And that's why I just don't go to the gym.
All right. For all of you gym warriors out there, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, you want to get a good workout in January, but guess what? The gym's going to be crowded. So get whatever workout that you can in, because when you hit it back in February, you won't break yourself by taking a month off. My personal gym, by the way, doesn't back off until after spring break time frame. I think mostly that's because people transition outside because it gets warmer at that point in time. So yeah, Evil Zombie, thank you very much for catching us in the gym. I do listen to podcasts about podcasting in the gym myself.
So there you go. If you got something to say to us, please get in touch with us through any of the ways. You can find us. We're over at facebook.com/betterpodcasting. You can tweet us at BetterPod or head on over and send us one of those old-timey emails to podcast@betterpodcasting.com. But that is going to take us towards the end of the show. Before we wrap up, we'll just remind you that we are part of the Gunna Geek Network. If you're not familiar with the Gunna Geek Network, we're a network of passionate podcasters that share the central love of geekery. You can find that over on GunnaGeekNetwork.com. We have a whole bunch of members over there, and we're always expanding, including the wonderful Super Geeky Playdate, which in episode number 65 of their show, titled The Top 5 Movies of 2017, it's gonna be like a mix of The Wizard of Oz and The Santa Claus, where there must always be a Guy Fieri. So if that doesn't have you curious, well, nothing will make you curious on what that is. Please check that out. That's episode 65 of Super Geeky Playdate that you can find over on GunnaGeekNetwork.com. SP, anything that you want to give a special shout out to right now?
I want to give a shout out to all of our great live listeners. We had some great comments in the live chat, which you can find at geeks.live. Heather said, I like Emily's board she has that she can change the letters on it. I want one. I also want a block letter like my H.
We also had Bandar Lives say, do you believe that business cards with only an email address and URL is sufficient? I don't want to hand out my phone number. I totally think that they're sufficient. And the reason why I think that they're sufficient is because a lot of people are going to want to email you instead. My experience has been a lot of people don't like to call. And so if you have that situation that somebody does warrant having your phone number, just write it on the back. As long as you leave it blank, you can, for that one person, write it on the back. Aside from that, you can hand these things out like they're going out of style and not worry about somebody crank calling you at 2 a.m., even though I'm going to do it.
I personally don't believe that Bandar Lives actually has a phone number. I think he just has the mobile devices and doesn't associate them with a SIM card or a phone number. That's just my personal belief on Bandar. By the way, Seth in the chat said, part of me really wants a SM7B, but I'll probably get a Zoom recorder first. I think actually that's probably a better buy for you, but I'd have to talk to you a little bit more to see about that.
And finally, also, Bandar Lives said, back in 2014, I bought condenser microphones to podcast with, and that was in response to our question about if you have made a bad purchase. So there you go. That's a little testimonial for the condenser microphones. They're not awesome.
Apparently, I still have one that I have to unbox and actually use and test and stuff. And yeah, SP is going to go the condenser route in 2018. We'll see how that turns out anyway.
Full disclosure on that, different environments can yield different results. It's just for us, we find that for the average Joe, it's a much faster, a much cleaner process out of the box to go with something like the AT2005.
Steven, do you realize that this entire episode and the subject material in it was brought to you, brought to us, brought to our listeners by our listeners?
I did realize that. And so there you go. There's your testimonial on how, if you send us something, the odds are we're going to listen. The odds. I'm not going to commit to it, but the chances are. So please do send your feedback, your comments to us. It might not be right away that we act on it, but it will likely end up somewhere in the show eventually. So thanks to everybody who participates. And if you want to go ahead and send us a video or audio clip, we encourage it because we are a full video show, and you can find our video and audio stuff at betterpodcasting.com. So for episode 115 of Better Podcasting, I'm Steven John Drew, wearing my Gunna Geek shirt right now for you audio listeners because it makes me happy.
And I'm SP saying, don't buy a smoker's microphone.
Bye.
See you next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Better Podcasting. We want to hear from you. You can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. If you like the show, please consider giving us a 5-star review in iTunes. We encourage you to check out all of the other geeky podcasts available at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. This has been a Gunna Geek production. Thanks for listening, and we will see you again next week.